Filthy Henry case files. The Scarred Bones, Part 2. One of the things that Filthy Henry enjoyed most about his line of work, his very existence you could even say, was that he walked around Ireland listening to people talk about the fairy folk as if they weren't real. Just stories, made up tales for children. There was no way that leprechauns actually existed, or Celtic gods had once walked the earth looking for adventure. It was almost like Filthy Henry had the opportunity to live on an inside joke, rather than be aware of one. But that also meant he had a low tolerance for mortals who believed the other made-up drivel that was peddled around the world, such as cryptozoologists, an entire community of people who spent their time chasing down fictitious animals like Bigfoot and the abominable snowman as if they were real. There was more chance of a changeling looking their actual age and not like human babies than finding a mythical creature out in the woods. So, to hear Vincent Farrell profess to now have a Sasquatch skeleton to go on display, well, that was just something Filthy Henry could not tolerate. After all, was a head curator not supposed to be a man of science and fact? "So you have a big skeleton that you plan to pass off as a Yeti?" the fairy detective asked, pointing at the display case. "Is this what your legacy is going to be? A curator of curios?" The head curator of the dead zoo turned on his heel and glared at Filthy Henry so hard that it almost felt like a physical assault. Walking towards the fairy detective on shoes that somehow did not squeak on the wooden floors, Vincent looked Filthy Henry directly in the eye. "I have a genuine Sasquatch skeleton to display and educate the masses. You will not belittle it by implying it's a fictitious creature, such as a common Yeti." Filthy Henry had dealt with charlatans before, and on several occasions, he had been a charlatan himself. The speech patterns were always the same. First you had the wide sweeping declarative statement, followed by the verbal assault to anyone who questioned the truth of said statement. Next up would come to the defensive explanation of why people should stop asking so many unanswerable questions. For those charlatans that were not fairy detectives, the final step in ensuring people stop prying too much into your affairs was to start getting aggressive. The fairy detective watched Vincent to see if he was about to become physically animated, but it seemed the head curator had some level of restraint. "I'm sorry, Mr. Farrell," Filthy Henry said, looking over at a display of stuffed ferrets, and taking a step back to put some distance between himself and the disgusting things. "But I'm not in the business of protecting faux similes from ghosts." Shelley, who'd been looking closely at the skeleton in the glass case, looked back at Filthy Henry and frowned. "Did you just say faux similes?" she asked him. Filthy Henry grinned at her and gave one of his trademark cheeky winks. "If you two are done being clever, what are we going to do about my spectral squatter?" Vincent asked them, looking from Filthy Henry to Shelley and gesturing with his hands for either of them to speak. "I'm going to clue for looks," the fairy detective said to Shelley, waving towards her to indicate that he was done with the talking part of the case. As Shelley began asking Vincent some questions, Filthy Henry started to walk down the rows of display cases with his hands firmly in his pockets. Even though there were large sheets of glass separating him from the beady-eyed freak shows, the fairy detective did not want to risk touching one of them by accident. The dead zoo had never been a place that appealed to Filthy Henry when he was growing up. Then again, it had only been around for 70 years or so when the fairy detective had been a young lad running around the streets of Dublin. Back then, only the very wealthy entered through the doors of the museum. Money allowed people to have free time, with which to take strolls through dead animal displays. Most of the other people at the time had to work so they could earn the money for free time, along with bread and milk. A shaft of moonlight broke through the clouds outside, shining from a window over the front door. It cast a bluish light over the tiles and displays, moving slowly up the hall. Filthy Henry stopped and watched finding a moment of beauty in the slow progression of the light. Some windows, up a couple of levels, began to glow with the moonlight as well. Then the fairy detective smelled it. Something on the air beyond dust and dead animal debris. Magic. Fairies went about the place, never truly appreciating the little quirks of the world they shared with mortals. Sure, magic was something that basically made up their everyday life. But there were places that the energies did not go to. Typically, mortal spaces that fairies found so boring they never ventured into. Walk into any coffee shop in Ireland, and chances were you'd find a fairy or two enjoying a chat, hidden from mortal sight by the magic of the veil. But go into a place deemed boring by the fairy folk, and a magically attuned person, such as a half-breed who worked as a detective, would notice the absence of magic. It was just not enough to cause any discomfort. Chances were that Shelley might even have noticed the lack of magic in the air too, if she'd been around as long as Filthy Henry. The question now, however, was why had the faint aroma of magic appeared? Filthy Henry slowly turned on the spot and looked for anything outside of the mortal ordinary. He flicked on his fairy vision, the second sight that allowed him to see the magical spectrum of the world, and peered about. There were no fairies hiding in the shadows, no magically imbued objects bearing an entertaining curse or spell waiting to be unleashed. For all intents and purposes, the only magical things in the museum were Shelley and the fairy detective. He looked through the glass down at Shelley, as some moonlight shone through the Yeti skeleton and illuminated her face. Through a trick of UV protective glass, the display case took on a brief green tint that disappeared as soon as Filthy Henry moved his head. Right as a stuffed ferret moved its head in the case directly beside the fairy detective.
"Doctor, above!"
he shouted, backing away from the tiny creature as it started trying to smash through the glass with stuffed headbutts.
"Shelley, get over here!"
Shelley and Vincent came running down to Filthy Henry, both looking around for a sign of what had caused him to shout in surprise. The head curator spotted the animated corpse before Shelley and pointed at it.
"Do you see now?"
he stammered, waving his finger in an accusatory manner.
"Something is haunting my displays."
Stepping forward carefully, Shelley bent down and looked at the pathetic, pounding ferret.
"It isn't even cracking the glass," she said. "Wait, it isn't moving its body."
Vincent nodded his head in agreement.
"That's right. However, it's moving more than the kestrel did the night before. At least the bird had the decency to only move the head and the beak. This is much worse."
"You're saying that the haunting is more pronounced tonight than it was last night?" Filthy Henry asked,
feeling a shiver run down his spine as the tiny-headed creature kept up with the attack on the case. There were very few things that actually scared the fairy detective. When you lived in the magical world your whole life, things like ghosts and banshees were just as common as spandex-wearing cyclists and mimes. Although mimes were scary in their own way, Filthy Henry figured. But glass-eyed, stuffed animals, no larger than a cat, were just unnatural. One of them moving now did not, in any way, shape or form, make them less freaky to look at. While Filthy Henry watched the ferret, the animated animal started to rock back and forth on its little wooden diorama setting. It toppled forward and lay motionless, pressed up against the glass. A faint, almost imperceptible, wisp of green light drifted out of the display case and over to a stuffed badger. The fairy detective watched with morbid curiosity as the animal's head turned to face them, before it too started smashing against the glass prison it found itself in.
"Do you see that?" Filthy Henry asked Shelley.
The telltale sign of blue magic around her eyes was missing, letting the fairy detective know that Shelley had not had her fairy vision on. Chances were very slim that she had happened to notice a trail of magical energy drifting through the air, given how the mortal mind ignored magic entirely, unless it could be explained away using some flimsy logic.
"This is preposterous," Vincent said,
striding over to the badger display with purpose in his step. He thumped on the glass several times with the edge of his fist.
"Stop that at once!"
The badger turned its head to look at Vincent, then continued to bang against the glass. Futile attempts at destruction, but still unnerving for Filthy Henry to watch. He shuddered.
"Shelley, you're going to have to handle this," he said,
walking towards the main door of the museum.
These tiny yolks are freaking me out.
Filthy Henry placed a hand on the door handle, right as the moonlight ceased shining through the windows. A cloud, no doubt, having passed in front of the celestial orb. The banging badger stopped. Filthy Henry slowly turned around and looked down the darkened museum at Shelley.
That's really strange, Shelley said, meeting his stare.
Shelley dropped the bag of pastries and the coffee down on the desk in Filthy Henry's office and sat in the seat opposite him and smiled. The fairy detective was in his red leather chair, reading from a large and somewhat dusty tome. He didn't even look up at Shelley as she entered the office.
I brought a selection, she said, reaching over and taking one of the cups out of the tray with her right hand, while opening the bag of pastries with her left.
Peering inside, Shelley spotted the maple pecan slice she had selected just for her cheat day breakfast and pulled it free. The smell of maple syrup and crispy crisp pastry hit her nostrils, mixing with the coffee and telling her that everything in the world would be all right. At least for the next 5 minutes or so.
Thanks, Filthy Henry said, picking up the other cup of coffee while his eyes remained fixed on the page before him.
This was an interesting development in his personality, one Shelley felt sure needed to be jotted down somewhere so historians could study the information later. Filthy Henry rarely, if ever, ignored food when it was within arm's reach, let alone free food that he could gorge himself on, replenishing his magical energy reservoir as the fats and sugars and carbohydrates were converted by his fairy side. Taking a bite from her pastry, Shelley leaned a little to the left and read the title of the tome that held Filthy Henry's attention.
Mythological creatures and where to find them, Shelley said aloud.
Research, the fairy detective replied, taking a sip from his coffee.
Research for a case? Shelley asked, knowing straight away that she was needling the bear.
Filthy Henry tossed the book onto his desk, a cloud of dust erupting from the cover and dispersing into the air. He pulled the bag closer, reached blindly inside, and pulled out a jam donut.
Yes, for a case, he said, taking a bite of the jammy goodness and licking some of it from his thumb. Your case? The case of why I was being chased around a museum late last night by tiny-headed freaks of nature.
Shelley shook her head.
I'd hardly call them freaks of nature, she said. It's the Natural History Museum, after all. They're just nature. Just not moving about. Then again, time makes freaks out of us all, I suppose. There's a basking shark over there that's 3 centuries old and looks nothing like a modern-day basking shark.
I'd have just as much issue with the displays if they were filled with bodies of people, Filthy Henry said, finishing off the donut with one mouth-stuffing bite.
You know there's a show just like that. It was on in Dublin a few years ago, Shelley said.
The spray of crumbs and jam that spewed forth from the fairy detective's mouth covered the open pages of the book, leaving sticky red stains in the middle. Filthy Henry swore and held his hands over the pages of the book.
Glon Hoppa, he said, a spark of magic forming in the air above the pages.
There was a slight rustle of wind on paper. Then all the crumbs started to be pulled towards the spark. As some crumbs bounced over the jam stains, they stopped and spun on the spot. The jam was extracted from the paper, leaving no stain behind, before the crumb trundled on. In a few seconds, the pages of the book looked better than new, and the spark vanished from sight.
Filthy Henry dug into the bag and pulled out an iced donut.
What a waste of a good jam donut, he said.
If you can clean using that spell, why don't you clean your apartment more often? Shelley asked him.
There's not enough magic in the world to clean that place. Besides, my apartment's just the way I like it.
Filthy, she said, disgusted.
That's my name. Don't wear it out, the fairy detective said, attempting to eat the iced donut in one go.
Shelley rolled her eyes at him, then pulled the tome around to her side of the desk so she could read it easier.
Taking care to eat her breakfast away from the book, Shelley scanned down the pages.
Sasquatch and their lesser-known relatives, she read aloud.
You really think what happened last night was because of Bigfoot?
Don't be soft, Filthy Henry said, searching in the bag for the last tasty treat.
But there is something about that skeleton that isn't adding up. You don't suddenly get haunted because you've been a good little curator and brought home something interesting.
Shelley had been in the fairy detective business for a few years by now, and if there was one thing she had learned, it was that nothing, no matter how normal looking it seemed, could be disregarded when it came to magic. Filthy Henry had once explained that the fairy folk sometimes used common everyday objects and imbued them with spells or curses, depending on the requirement. Simple things like stones or coins, easily overlooked by mortals. Shelley herself had even been fortunate enough to have a protection charm in her pocket, right when Balor the Dreadful had tried to kill her with a blast from his magical eye. So while the fairy detective may not have suddenly jumped into the camp of believers when it came to Yetis and Bigfoots, the skeleton was obviously the focus of his attention. But this was her case, and she was damned if Filthy Henry was going to declare a theory before her. "The skeleton's cursed," Shelley declared, taking a victory sip from her coffee. Filthy Henry, halfway through an apple slice, looked across the desk at her and frowned.
"Why? Cursed how?" he asked,
a few pastry flakes escaping from his mouth and drifting to the desk like dandruff. The problem with announcing a theory was, most of the time, people expected you to prove it afterwards as well. She thought about it for a moment.
"Well, if the ghosts only appeared when the skeleton was brought in, then there has to be a connection between the two. An unsettled spirit, looking to rest. Maybe a primal force of nature, disgusted at the collection of dead animals and seeking to free them."
Filthy Henry shook his head.
"No, I thought about that angle. You don't usually see eco-terrorist ghosts. And even so, ones that possess things are extremely rare and powerful. The problem I have is that there was no magic in the museum, save for the pair of us."
Shelley had only briefly used her fairy vision the night before in the Natural History Museum. That had been a rookie mistake, but the memories of being there when younger had distracted her for the briefest of moments. Even still, the Greel energy had been clearly visible moving from one display to another. Mr. Farrell had even questioned what was going on, right up until everything ceased moving and went back to being dead.
"So if it isn't a ghost and it isn't a curse, then what? You really think it is a Bigfoot? Are they magical too?" "Bigfoots aren't real," Filthy Henry said, reaching over and slamming the book closed. "And according to that Eurosaver trash collection, they've never exhibited magical abilities in any of the stories either. All they seem to be are giant humanoids, covered in hair and not exactly camera shy. Little more than animals. There's never mention of a society or communities or anything like that. If I could have written this off as being a shaman yeti corpse, that at least would have been something I could understand."
He stood up, took his trench coat off the back of the chair, then pulled it on.
"Come on," the fairy detective said. "We have to go back to the dead zoo."
Shelley finished her coffee, then tossed the empty cup into the waste bin. It spiraled through the air and crashed into the mound of papers with the precision of a pro.
"You've a theory?" she asked. "I haven't even got a conspiracy theory," Filthy Henry said. "Let's go."
Filthy Henry, The Scarred Bones is an original story by Derek Power and Niall Milton. Other works by Derek Power are available to buy right now on Amazon Kindle. Part 3 of this story is available imminently. If this story scratched any sort of itch at all for you, why not go and check out other episodes from our podcast? Please be sure to like or subscribe or share. And as always, thanks for listening.